Welcome to the America Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your America football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. Divisional round is over. Championships are upon us. Condolences, Craig. Not a thrilling way to go out of there. A bit unfortunate. But, I mean, Championship's probably my favourite weekend of the playoffs. How are you all feeling?
We've been treated, haven't we? We got two really, really good games. I'm thinking back on sort of recent history on Championship Sunday. And for me, this weekend definitely stands out more than any other year. You got four quarterbacks. You got the old boys against each other.
Four quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't have to count, you've also got two young guns just going at each other. It's going to be great. Really exciting. I can't decide which game I'm more excited for.
It's crazy that this is the first postseason matchup between Breeze and Rodgers.
Brady and Rodgers.
It's exactly that. You've got these two veteran legends in the NFC, and you've got two, we hope to be up and coming legends in their own right in a couple of years. I mean, obviously, we'll get to Patrick Mahomes' condition in a bit, but this really is looking like one of the better lineups we've had for a while.
Yeah, it's four strong teams. There isn't really like a gimme there, I'd say. They've all had great seasons. They all deserve to be there in their own right.
Yeah, you've not got any teams that have got a duff quarterback. You basically got four of the best quarterbacks in the NFL playing each other. So,
and like injury-wise, there's no team that's decimated. Obviously, Mahomes is currently in concussion protocol. There's a couple of players on some teams, but it's not like one team's been completely wiped out to get here. So it's going to be a bit of a shorter on the game preview kind of front, obviously, with there being less games. So we are going to go into a bit more news as there is a lot more news coming out. Let's get straight into it. Obviously, head coaches moving around is the top talk of the league at the moment. Let's go through a couple of these and have a chat about them. Detroit Lions have got their new head coach, Dan Campbell, who was the assistant head coach and tight end coach for the Saints. Any thoughts about this one? Obviously, it's a bit of an unknown pickup, but the Lions fans just wanted to get rid of Patricia.
It's an unusual jump to go from tight end coach to head coach, I thought.
Don't forget, Dan Campbell was an interim coach for the Dolphins. I can't remember which coach. I think it was when they fired Philbin, he took over as head coach, and he was quite liked then. I think if you saw, I watched a bit of the press conference he did today, and he's a bit of an old school coach, giving the whole fire and brimstone, if you smack us in the mouth, we'll bite you on the knees kind of thing. So I think it might be, he's going to be entertaining. I don't know if he's going to be a good coach or not, but he's definitely going to be entertaining.
Yeah, he comes from the Saints as a regime that's been fairly successful over the last 5 years. So he's going to have a lot of sort of experience on that front. But for me on the other end as well, I just see more of the Saints almost not falling apart, but more pieces of the Saints puzzle sort of going away.
Oh, the Saints are getting picked apart like vultures.
Yeah, well, considering that the situation they're in at the moment with the cap, I think everybody but Kamara on that roster now is fair game, including Michael Thomas. I really do. I think if Breeze does retire, which is looking like he's going to, that team is just going to be a complete rebuild. They're just going to ship off everyone who they can, trying to, because they're doing quite bad in terms of picks and trying to draft capital and everything else. I think right now they're just going to full rebuild mode. They're going to try and ship off everyone they can, except, like I said, maybe Kamara, try and regain some of them picks, free up some space. And I think it's a two to three season job for them.
Yeah, I mean, just to give some context, Saints are the worst in the cap space at the moment. I think they have four draft picks this year before they lost all these players, because losing some coaches can now return compensatory third-round picks. They have got a few of them. But yeah, they've, like you said, Michael Thomas just did not. Obviously, he was injured, but if he's the most highly paid receiver and he's playing like that, you've lost your Hall of Fame quarterback. All these coaches are getting taken away. I think you're right, Craig. The only person you really want to keep and build around is Kamara.
Yeah, this was an all-in season for them. It was this Super Bowl or nothing, and then they're going to blow it. Well, they've started already blowing it up.
Moving on to other people that have been taken from them. The Falcons have taken their head scout as their new GM. This is really big because if you look at the past couple of drafts, the Saints have knocked it out of the park. They have drafted unbelievably well recently, picking up the likes of like Kamara and Ryan Ramczyk. And they're that year where they had the offensive and defensive rookie of the year when they had Kamara and Lattimore. So that hopefully he's passed on his traits, but he's a fantastic scout. And that's another huge loss for the Saints.
It'll be interesting to see what he does with the Falcons because obviously they've got the talent. They've got some talent there, especially offensively. There's obviously been the talk about, are they going to try rebuild and chuck some of the superstars out and get a bit of cap space in? It's going to be interesting to see if he wants to rebuild and sort of go via the draft or if he wants to keep those and build around him. To be honest, I think maybe building around Matt Ryan and Julio Jones is probably the better option as they're pretty established, but it's going to be good to see what the Falcons do. I think they're going to have an exciting offseason.
I think they ship off Julio Jones possibly this offseason.
Or Calvin Ridley, because I know Calvin Ridley's great, but they've got two unbelievable receivers right now. A third, if you think of what's his name, Gage, I think. But they need to kind of think, yeah, we've got these this fantastic offense. Maybe we should sell a bit of it to shore up somewhere else.
So if you're going to do that, the obvious thing to do, though, is get rid of the older person who's got the bigger contract rather than getting rid of Ridley, I would have thought.
Yeah, plus Jones, he's guaranteed to at least miss a chunk of the season through an injury. It seems to be quite a common theme now. Yeah. I think they try and get big money for him or some draft picks and ship him off.
They've got the fourth pick as well this year. That's massive. It's going to be good to see what they can do.
A quarterback is there for the taking.
Exactly.
And on a lot of the Baltimore pages, there's a lot of fans out there who are curious whether we'd show some interest in them because we're shopping for a receiver. Who knows?
Oh, God, don't put Julio on the Ravens, please. Please don't. Other head coaching news. The Chargers have hired Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. Obviously, took what was a pretty good defense under Wade Phillips. They slacked in 2019, and Brandon Staley brings them up to the number one ranked defense. I think it was in all three of the important sectors. So big loss for the Rams, huge gain for the Chargers, I think.
Yeah, at least he gets to stay in the same sort of neighborhood, which is nice for him. It's quite a weird one seeing him going from LA to LA. I thought there was a bit of a rivalry there. Because I know the Rams, did they initially say no? They sort of declined him to be able to have an interview. I don't know if it was Staley or someone else.
They declined someone else because you can't decline a coordinator going to a head coach.
Okay.
You can decline coordinator to coordinator.
But yeah, so it's going to be a good one though because, he's done well. He had a really good season this year with that defense and he deserves a step up. And what an exciting job to take on.
Doesn't even have to move out.
Yeah, exactly. I think as well, like Adam, you hit the nail on the head, I think. When Wade Phillips retired, the young guy takes over, you'd expect a dip, but he didn't. He actually improved that defense. And I know they've got talent on there, but you still need to coach the defense.
Absolutely. And very new head coaching news a couple of minutes ago, and I haven't been able to read up on it, which is really eating at me. The Eagles have hired their new head coach, Nick Sirianni, from the Colts. There's not too much to know about him. He was a fairly quiet name, came in fairly late into the interview process. Frank Reich's offensive coordinator had that Colts offense, which looked pretty good for some of the season. There are obviously some games, but as far as I can tell, people are happy he's coming in because he looks like he can be a bit of a hard ass, which is what we need to give to Wentz because we can't give him another yes man. I think that's the worst move for us.
Yeah, so if the same for the Eagles, it's obviously brand new news for us and we don't, personally, I don't know masses about him, but it's exciting. Offensive coordinator, for me, that always excites me more than a defensive coordinator coming in as a head coach because it's going to be interesting. And as you say, for Wentz, that's massive. That's going to be his first sort of call of action. What's he going to decide?
Wentz's MVP season was under Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator. We've just picked Frank Reich's offensive coordinator up, the second Reich, some would call it.
It's the name that I didn't see at all when I was looking at people that were considered for coaching jobs, head coaching jobs. Not a name I saw coming up at all.
No, yeah, it came up pretty late. We had been, the top two names that were coming up was Juice Staley, our running backs coach, and Josh McDaniels, the Patriots offensive coordinator. But there'd been a lot of Deuce Daly can't plan, Josh McDaniels is a prick, stuff like that, which he is. He lost us Frank Reich, ironically. But yeah, very exciting news. I'm happy that's happened because now we get to just see how we go forward. Do we keep Wentz? Do we play Hurts? What's the drafting looking like? All very exciting stuff. Other coordinator news. The Jags defensive coordinator has been picked. It is the ex-Ravens D-line coach. So bit of a loss for the Ravens. They had a pretty outstanding defense this year.
Yeah, it was a lot better. I think a huge part just from the pickups that we had in terms of Wolf and Campbell. But it looks like our coaching staff's getting picked apart a little bit as well. So it'll be interesting to see what the Ravens coaching staff looks like going into next season.
I just remembered, Joe, actually, you mentioned that you were happy we brought in an offensive coordinator as a head coach. I was reading some of it the other day, and it seems that offensive coordinators are the best hire to go with now, because if you hire a defensive coordinator, if we look at the likes of like Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick's a bit of an outlier here, but if you are hiring an offensive coordinator that's not your head coach and you succeed, that offensive coordinator is more than likely not going to last two seasons, which results in your offense swapping and swapping and swapping, which is not ideal for a quarterback and an offense. So by picking up an offensive head coach, you hopefully, obviously, they bond well with the franchise quarterback, but it means you're not going to have that turnover, and it's the defense that maybe will go through that, but defenses are a bit more resilient to change, I feel.
That's a decent way of thinking about it.
Absolutely. Some really good news from the British side of the field. The London Warriors defensive coordinator has got a job as the Cowboys D-line coach. So congratulations, Adrian Dird. Big up the UK.
Yeah, I think he was there. I think he was Warriors quite a while ago. I know he did some stuff with the Falcons as well. So, but he's, you know, Middlesex born and bred. So congrats to him.
That's where I'm from.
Hey.
It's nice to see. It's nice to see not just players making their way over there, but coaches as well.
Yeah. We spoke to Pete, didn't we? And, you know, they've got quite a clear sort of outline of making the American football in the UK professional in 10 years' time. And if you've got coaches that are training over here initially going over there, that's a great step forward. It shows that there is a bit of a platform that we can build on.
Mentioned Breeze retiring. Another great of the game. Phil Rivers has announced his retirement after 17 seasons.
Did you see his quote after he announced his retirement? He said he announced his retirement and everything himself, and he was like, now it's time for me to go home and focus on starting a family and like being a family man and all this stuff. And I would, yeah, he's got about 20 million kids. He could field his own football team, offense and defense. Clearly don't have a telly in the Rivers house.
They will now.
Yeah, I mean, here's the question: Hall of Fame or Hall of Very Good?
So, Phil, let's not start this nonsense. Phil Rivers has got the fifth most yards in NFL history, 63,440, and he's got 421 touchdowns. What else do you have to do to get in the Hall of Fame? I can admit it now. For years, I've been a big Phil Rivers fan. I've watched him so many times beating the Raiders. He's got that really daft-looking delivery.
Yeah, so weird.
But I've been a huge Phil Rivers fan for years, and I've been hiding it. I love Phil Rivers. He should definitely get in the Hall of Fame.
Tim's secret confessions.
I know.
He's one of the best players to never win a ring. I think he's definitely up there in that conversation of like some of the best players that the league's seen, especially in recent years. Who's not, you know, he's not gone to the promised land. But I agree. I think he should be definitely Hall of Fame.
He's always fun.
One of the greatest trash talkers in NFL history.
Doesn't
swear. He does it without swearing. It's...
I'm a bit surprised you three have all said Hall of Fame. I'm actually opposed to it. I think Hall of Fame, you have to be the best. To be the best, you've got to win championships. I know he's got these amazing stats in the regular season, but if he's not got one ring, that I think that just shows that, yeah, it's a team game. It doesn't always come down to one person doing it. But if you're the quarterback, you're orchestrating an entire side of your team. He didn't even make an All-Pro once, I believe. I think he's the Hall of Very Good, but there's a reason you've got to be the best of the best to get into that Hall of Fame. I think I've read somewhere there's like 320-odd Hall of Famers, 7% of them are quarterbacks. Is Phil Rivers in that? I don't think so.
I think a lot can be said, though, for loyalty as well. I think that may be a big reason as to...
Yeah, but loyalty is not being a good player.
But, you know, there's a lot of the time where you can... Admittedly, Phil Rivers' early years, I'm not massively clued up. But I know recently, you know, some of the Chargers teams as of recent years weren't amazing. I know they made the playoffs a couple years ago. But, you know, he always stuck with that team. And I think a lot can be said for that. I don't know. I find it quite admirable.
Don't get me wrong. I do like the guy.
So, I mean, the obvious thing to compare him to, I think, would be Eli Manning. I would say that Rivers was better than Eli. But yeah, Eli would get more of a shout, I think, and more of a, because of the Super Bowls and everything else that went on. So, like, I don't know. I personally, I think he is Hall of Fame. I think he is good enough. I think he's just a victim of being in a struggling franchise for a long time.
I think you're right as well. Those things are taken into account where he actually played from a media perspective, because the Hall of Fame voters just know about Eli Manning because he played in New York, he won 2 Super Bowls. Phil Rivers was stuck in a backwater down in San Diego. It's equivalent to 2 good football players, one playing for Man United, one playing for Ipswich. Who are you going to see more? People saw Eli Manning more. And obviously, yes, he won 2 Super Bowls, which I think Adam's right. That's why Phil's not going to get in Hall of Fame, because of the Super Bowls and the fact that he didn't really do much in the playoffs.
I mean, I had a point in my head I completely forgot then, so we'll just ignore it. Oh, no, yeah. Did you see where Phil Rivers announced his retirement? The San Diego Tribune. Which is a bit of a shot to the Chargers, really. I mean, we've still got news coming. Jets owner Chris Johnson has stepped back to allow his brother Woody, who's the guy who really is the football brother, I suppose. He's coming back as chairman for the Jets. So with the Jets looking like they can turn their future around, potentially, this could be a big move.
I hope so.
Well, let's not go that far.
I quite like the Jets when they were fun. Back in the Sanchez days when they had that like one or two seasons where they did make the playoffs and they were pretty feisty. I thought they were quite fun to watch. I mean, I guess they've dealt with the fair share of shit. Like, it's about time they had, you know, something positive happened in with the Jets.
So I'm not sticking up for Woody Johnson at all. However, he's been away from the Jets for, I think it's 4 years. He's been British UK ambassador. Is it 4 years ago that the Jets were actually not the laughingstock that they are now? I think they were. So
you're telling me Trump made the Jets shit?
Well, yeah. Yes, that's exactly it.
That's with the Jets, from a non-biased point of view, yes, it would be nice to see them do well, because, as you say, they have just been shat on for so many years. But it would be interesting, you know, make the AFC East a bit more interesting. You've got the Bills flying, you've got the Dolphins improving, you've got the Pats falling. And if the Jets start improving as well, it just makes it a bit of a free-for-all.
The Jets hold the key to the offseason. They're going to be the most interesting team to see what happens with them, with Darnold and that draft pick they've got. So the Jets are just going to be really fascinating.
I tell you what, Robert Saleh is piecing together quite the coaching staff as well. He's looks like, because he was hired so early, he's basically just been looking at all the good teams and going, you.
Yeah, that's a hell of a head coach that they've got there. He's going to be fantastic, and it's quite worrying actually from a rival point of view. I think he's going to be there for years to come, and unless you know, things don't go too well and another franchise poaches him at some point, I just think they're going to absolutely fly, especially with those draft picks.
Before we carry on with more of the news, I think this is a good time to ask one of the listener questions that were sent in. It will fit in quite nicely. So Sean Hegarty off Insta asked, out of all of the teams with a losing record this season, who are most likely to make an appearance in a playoff game next year? He thinks that the Jets could do well.
Of view that the Jags are going to be this super hot team next year. got nice, flashy new head coach, Urban Meyer. Going to get Trevor bloody Lawrence. They've got, if you give them a good quarterback, some of their receivers are outstanding. They got Chark and I can't remember the other fella's name. And the, obviously defense needs work, but that could be addressed in the draft. I think the Jags are the most likely team to go playoffs.
You think the Jags could be like this season's Dolphins?
And we get to see them two times a year. I'm buzzing.
I've got two answers. One's a bit of a cheat and the other one I think, okay, answer. First one's Washington. I know they made the playoffs, but the question doesn't say they didn't make the playoffs. They had a losing record and they've got a talented roster. They just need a QB. The other ones, I think people are forgetting about the 49ers. So if they had a bit more luck next season with injuries, they'd definitely come back and make the playoffs.
Fair shout. I like the Chargers as one. I think with Herbert and sort of all the regime changing there, they've got a chance. Also, the playoffs, go on then. I think the Panthers have a bit of a shot. I think with their draft pick this year, they're going to pick up a new QB. They pick up a good QB. You know, they've already got decent coaching in place. They sort of surprised a lot of people this year. And I would probably say they overachieved. I think if they just keep going where they're going, there's a shot, a small shot, they can maybe get in with 9 wins.
Tell you what, I thought losing record, I instantly just went to the bottom of the barrel. Now that I've realised a lot of teams actually are losing records, I really hate to say this, but the Giants, I mean, their head coach, he did well. Like he came into a fairly shit situation and he at some points that team looked really good. They're getting Saquon Barkley back, who I think if you put him in a functional offense, he's going to be a nuclear weapon. That's how dangerous he's going to be. They've got good draft picks. I think they could flop. Absolutely. Daniel Jones could turn out to be a nightmare, like just not have it and flop. But I think they've, in the NFC East especially, where chaos rules.
I think Giants could be a good shout. I think Vikings finished with a losing record, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
7-9.
Yep, 7-9.
That's not a bad team. I don't think it would take much to sort of patch up the issues on that team and definitely put them right back in the running again.
Tim, how do you feel if the Broncos draft a good quarterback?
Can't lose it. They were 5-11, so they've still got a fair way to go. I don't think Von Miller's going back, so I think he'll be off the team for one reason or another because he's a free agent. So, nah.
Okay. Right, before we move on to the rest of the questions, obviously there's one bit of glaring news we've not brushed over.
It's the Bengals' new kit, innit?
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, that's one thing. Bengals are looking at getting a new kit, so Bengals fans be happy there. Patrick Mahomes obviously was one of two quarterbacks to go out with a concussion last weekend, but he's the only one that is going into the championship. Huge news. I don't know if, but just to kind of describe the play, it looked more of a neck injury than anything on the play, like pulled down by his neck almost. And he came up looking like he was on a bucking Bronco. He was not steady, which is why obviously he's in the concussion protocol. But what do we think, boys?
So from go on.
I think at the time, Jay Glazer of, I think he's Fox Sports, who also covers MMA, said that the way his neck got twisted and the way the guy had his arm, it looked like he was choked out rather than knocked out. But he's in the concussion protocol. And everything coming out, the amount of practice time he's getting, what the Chiefs are saying, he's going to start. They wouldn't be giving him the practice starters snaps in during the week if they weren't going to start him. So,
yeah, he'll play as long as they look after him. Like, there's no point risking Mahomes to win one Super Bowl when you have the chance to win another 15 plus with him. So, if he's ready, he'll be ready and he'll play.
Yeah, I think that. It's good. It could be that the neurologist goes, he's fine, he can play, and it's all fine and dandy. But there's a good chance, I mean, not a good chance, but there's a chance that the league is going to essentially be able to choose whether do we have this really exciting championship game and risk probably one of the best players of potentially all time. His ceiling's definitely above nearly anyone we've ever seen. Do they risk that? And it, because if that goes south, that is going to be one of the worst things to happen to a sport in all time.
If he doesn't pass, he doesn't play. Like, I think on the weekend it shows how far the league's come, that you had both Mahomes and Lamar both go down with head injuries and both get pulled out for concussions, when normally back in the day they probably would have just been thrown back in there.
The NFL want Mahomes in that game. They will do the utmost they can to twist the rules. And I'm not saying they're going to make him play even if he's not fit, but if he's fit enough, the NFL will definitely push to have him play. They want the biggest players in the biggest games.
Yeah, conspiracy theories, me and Tim. Yeah, we should start a pod about NFL conspiracies. Let's move on to our
NFL after dark.
We've got two questions apart from the one we found on Insta, both off the NFL UK subreddit. So if you do frequent Reddit, head over there. We put out a feeler for questions every week. Verbatim asks us, with Deshaun Watson more or less demanding a trade, where do you think he could or should land? And a bonus question, for the team you pick, put together a reasonable trade offer. Has anyone got one ready for me?
I've got five. So I looked up, I'll run through them quickly. I looked up the odds of where he would play. Actually, the favourite is still Houston, to stay at Houston. But I think he's burnt his bridges there. So it's the Jets, Dolphins, Bears, Pats and Broncos. So basically any team that needs a quarterback, and it's probably like another 20 others. The one that was the early favourite, people talked about a lot, I still think might be it. I don't know. The Dolphins. Because people are talking about a package for the Dolphins, because the Dolphins have got decent draft picks and they've got a quarterback that they could trade. I think the price for Deshaun is going to be at least two first-round picks and two decent first-round picks. So that eliminates some teams. So I'm going to say Dolphins, but I really wouldn't be surprised if the Pats look to go big and get him.
I would have said Pats, yeah. I would have said Pats or... I mean, I've said it for a few weeks now. I think Steelers should make a go for him. I don't think they will, but I think they should bin off Big Ben and go for Deshaun. I think Deshaun on an offense be a very scary offense.
Having said that, we obviously learned the news recently that Dwayne Haskins has been signed by the Steelers, so maybe they're not in the market for a great quarterback.
For me, a Pats would be amazing, obviously. That'd be the dream come true. But... I really think the Jets is a possibility. I think they have got two decent... Well, they've got a decent first-round pick this year. They've got the second pick. Give me Deshaun Watson over Justin Fields or whoever the QBs are coming along. Deshaun Watson's only 25. We know how good he is. You know what his ceiling is. Robert Saleh is a great coach. You know, Watson's going to, I think, like the idea of that. Go to New York. It's a big market. For me, I just think give him Darnold, give him two first-round picks this year and next year, and that's more than worth it if you're the Jets.
I think that's the price, isn't it? It's two first-round picks and a half-decent quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Joe. I think the Dolphins, even though Tua's not got it, I think they want to keep rebuilding with that great capital they've got because they've proven they can do it. Broncos and Patriots, I just don't think will. Jets just seem like they could continue with Darnold, and I don't think that would be a bad move. They could draft the quarterback. I don't think that would be a bad move. An alternative, the linchpin, I think, to this is the Texans are obviously now the only team without a head coach. Deshaun Watson's contract has got a no-trade clause, so essentially he commands whether he wants to go or not. And apparently, if the only coach he's going to have in Texas to coach him is Eric Bieniemy. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is quarterback coach for a while. So, I mean, that's what I've heard.
And it's got the Texans' job. It's got to be Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy has deserved a head coaching job for a few years now. He's been OC at Kansas City. And it's a bad look on the NFL if he doesn't get a job again.
I've heard there's he's got some skeletons in the closet, so to speak, and that's why he's not an immediate hire. Another bit of Texans news, actually. I heard JJ Watt's very unlikely to be returning as well.
Yeah, there's a lot more talk of him going to potentially the Steelers. That Christmas wish of mine from a few weeks ago, there's a seed there potentially where it could happen. And we could all get we want to see and see the three Watt brothers on the same team. I guess it's what they're willing to part with to get him. I don't think JJ, looking at his finances and stuff, I don't think he'd be after big money. I think he just wants to win. He's already made his money. He's had his big contract in Houston. He makes a ton of money through everything else, like merchandising and ads and all the rest of it. Like, he's worth over $100 million already. Like, money, I don't think money's going to motivate him now. I think he just wants to win. So I think he's going to want to go to a team that's in a good position right now. And I think that would be a good landing spot for him, and I think he could be tempted to go over there, obviously, with his brothers over there.
Yeah, there's two ways it goes. I think you're right with JJ Watt. I think he goes to try and win a Super Bowl. You've got the other one where former star player signs with a really rubbish team, but for millions and millions, and just plays there for 2 years and just sort of turns up and gets the money. But I don't think JJ Watt's going to do that. I think you're right.
Nah, JJ Watt's just a football player through and through. He plays to win. Final question then. Agent Wyoming on the NFL UK subreddit asks, now that the Colts have to address their QB situation sooner rather than later, obviously with Phil Rivers retiring, how do you think they do it? Because there is a lot of options here, including Deshaun Watson potentially.
So I reckon it's going to be a free agent or a trade rather than a draft, because they've got the 21st pick in the draft, but they have got so much cap space. I think it's second most cap space in the NFL. I think I looked it up earlier, 65 million cap space. So they could trade for someone like Matt Stafford, who apparently is not happy and could be on the market. Deshaun Watson again. But with Deshaun Watson, they've not got enough to give up to get him. So
you've got a slightly used Carson Wentz.
Apparently he's happy now. You've got a new coach.
Yeah, apparently, but also I know his favourite coach that he's had is the current head coach of the Colts. So whilst I don't think we would trade him, I can't say it's not a chance, because I think if the opportunity comes around that a team goes, we'll give you a bit of a King's Bounty because we've lost our quarterback and we need to take a chance. I think we do exactly the same thing we did with Bradford. We ship Wentz off and go it hurts.
Yeah, I was watching actually Sky Sports were re-showing the Eagles-Vikings championship game today, and right at the end, they're just like the cameras on Wentz, and like, oh, this young man's got such a bright future in this league. I was just chuckling.
That didn't age well, did it?
But yeah, I'm with you, Tim. There, the only thing I'd say about it is Chris. The reason they've got second most cap space because Chris Ballard does not like to spend that money on free agents. But you're right, there are. You know who's the most highly rated free agent at the moment? Obviously, there's a good chance he gets re-signed. Dak Prescott.
Point.
So potentially hitting the free market. I think I think we say this every year. The quarterback situation's nuts this year.
Deshaun Watson, though, to a divisional rival. That's the only concern. I know you said they don't have enough to sort of trade him, but going from the Texans to the Colts is quite a bold move.
I was going to say, I think we've missed this one, and I don't know whether I'm making this up or I saw it or not. Has Andy Dalton signed for the Broncos? Or was that
no,
just
it
rumor?
Was predicted.
Right, okay.
It's rumored, yeah.
Let's move straight into our predictions. But only 2 more weeks left to go, Tim. Do you want to recap us?
So, last week in the divisional round was a pretty good week for some of us. I got every game right, so I got 4 points there. Adam got 3 out of 4 right, but also got his bold prediction. Craig, you only got 1 right. Joe, you got 3 right. So Craig's chances are slipping away from such a good start.
I dare to dream. I dare to dream. I flew too close to the sun and followed my heart, and it didn't go well for me.
Mathematically, you're still not out of it. Adding in a couple of points each from the preseason bonus predictions we did, the totals now stand at Craig, 212, Adam, 214, and me and Joe are both on 223 points.
Just want to say that's the first time I've not been in last. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not looking fortunate for me and Craig's chances here.
It's close. It's an exciting little title race going on here.
Like, I like that as a tie, because if we end up in a tie, I honestly have no idea what the tiebreaker will be.
Well, with the bold predictions, Adams was Lamar Jackson under 50 yards rushing. Mine was Saints receiving yards greater than Bucks receiving yards, and apparently I missed out by about 9 yards.
Yeah, I was keeping track, so I was like, I need this, and I can't let Tim have this.
My Goff one as well was so close. Goff and Rodgers was actually quite tight. I thought I said it, and I was like, why have I said that? That is not coming in, but nearly.
To be fair, I was blessed by an injury. let's go straight into it. Slightly different format, obviously, as we've only got two games. Each of us has chosen a team that we think is going to be winning the Super Bowl. I think we're correct in saying that, or we may have had to split one off. But we're going to go through each why our team is going to win their round in the championships. We'll start with the NFC game first, as that is the first game on this Sunday. Who has got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Joe does.
Let's go,
Joe. Okay, so Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, so no surprise that I picked them. So ever since the seeds were confirmed sort of back end of the regular season, I've always felt the Packers were a cert for the Super Bowl. The only way I thought that they might not make it is this exact scenario we have here. It's Tom Brady going to Lambeau to face Aaron Rodgers in the snow. So the Bucs, they've gotten here by beating Washington in an exciting wild card game. And they beat the Saints, which was almost an emphatic victory as their defense managed to shine. They intercepted Breeze 3 times in potentially his final ever game. Devin White was phenomenal. He had the game of his career. He had an interception and a fumble recovery. And he was just all over the Saints. We were all watching it and he was just phenomenal. He's in his second year and he's going to be an absolute superstar. So this game has actually happened already this season. Back in week 6, the Packers lost to the Bucs. It was 38-10. So it was quite a heavy win for the Bucs. Aaron Rodgers did have his worst game of the season, however. He threw back-to-back interceptions, which for Aaron Rodgers in his MVP season is extremely rare. This was, however, in Tampa Bay. So that's a completely different sort of settings. Having a look at the forecast, this game is projected to be snowing and also in -2 degrees. So not quite the nice hot Florida weather there. So in that game, the Bucs were able to sack Rodgers 4 times throughout the game and totaled 13 quarterback hits on him. This, you know, they're going to have to do a similar sort of strategy here. They're going to have to go for Rodgers and go hit him hard, put complete pressure on him and try and force the same sort of turnovers. The Bucs were, I wouldn't say reliable on turnovers against the Saints, but it really helped them. They got a lot of sort of short field positions, which helped them go and score. So for that, it's a massive, massive thing for the Bucs. You know, in that win versus the Packers, Brady did only throw for 166 yards. He has been averaging a lot higher of recent time, although he was kept rather quiet by an excellent Saints defense. Saying that, the Packers defense isn't the same as the Saints. Yeah, the Saints maybe didn't turn up as well as they could have, but they are still a top draw. They were still a top draw defense that managed to stop Tom Brady quite well. So looking at the quarterback matchup, Rodgers has been to 4 championship games and he's won 1 and lost 3. His record is throwing 6 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So he's a bit in the minus there. Tom Brady, he's been to this is actually his 14th championship game, which is just absolutely nuts. And he has won 9 and lost 4. So, you know, he's got a decent record. And mentally, that might be a big difference. Personally, I think it will be. I think once you've been there and done it so many times, you just know how to do it, granted with another team. This game actually really reminds me of the Patriots-Chiefs AFC Championship game in 2019, when him and Patrick Mahomes had a shootout. It was a class game. Personally, I remember being up till 4 in the morning, going absolutely nuts in my bedroom, waking up my whole family. But it's similar in a fair few ways. You know, Tom Brady was up against the MVP in Mahomes. You know, it was on the road. It was in cold conditions. And he had a worse, you know, that Patriots team was worse than his Bucs team is now. And I would probably say that Chiefs team was better then than the Packers are now. Just, it's very, very close. But I'd say they're just a bit better. So it's going to be interesting for me. I think the matchup is quite good for the Bucs. Yes, the you know, the Packers, they are big, heavy favourites. But I just fancy that experience to really come in handy. And of course, you know, Tom Brady's got Gronk with him. If there's any doubt, you know, Gronk's going to be getting that ball. So if Brady wins, he will be the fourth quarterback in NFL history to take two separate franchises to Super Bowls. Can you guys name the other three?
Yeah, repeat the question, sorry.
So only three quarterbacks. So Tom Brady, if he wins, will be the fourth to take two separate franchises to the Super Bowl.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning's one.
Joe Montana.
Nope.
Did he not do it with the Chiefs?
No, he got to the championship.
Ah, yeah. Box.
Hang on. Johnny Unitas.
Oh, sorry?
Well, no. Johnny Unitas?
No.
It's going to be one really weird one.
There's one quite odd one. One, he's a television personality now.
Tony Rupp? No.
No.
Terry Bradshaw?
No.
No.
One of his games was with the Rams.
Oh, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. And the last one, I'll say it, is Craig Morton.
Don't know who it is.
No.
Cowboys QB and Cowboys and Broncos.
Yeah. So that was the last one. That was the one I didn't know. Kurt Warner, to be honest, I didn't realise was twice. But yeah, so that you know, he could cause a bit of history there. It's going to be a tight game. To be honest, I can't call it, but I'm going with my heart of Tom Brady. So I'm going for the Bucks to win by four.
You said something right at the beginning that I completely agreed with. And you said, I could see the Packers going straight to Super Bowl unless they meet the Bucks in the playoffs. And I think this is, if you don't watch many games and you just like to listen, this is going to be a game that goes down in history. It is Tom Brady leading a team that everyone's like, oh, he's going straight to Super Bowl and he's just done it. And he's going against the best quarterback in the league in his home field in the snow. It is going to be so good. I'm just super excited about this game, in all honesty. Having said that, I'm doing this purely based on the fact that I don't want Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again. I'm going to say Packers by three.
I was going to say, I think I just realised I said my score without Craig actually putting his Packers argument forward. So I'm going to potentially...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, completely want to hear the other side of the story.
Okay, I'll go through this then. I'll try and be as quick as I can. So Packers are a game away from the Super Bowl. All they've got to do is make the second trip to the promised land in the Rodgers areas to defeat Brady and the Bucks. I think with all garbage around the league at the moment, Rodgers appears to be trending in the other direction, and he's on his way to what's likely to be his third MVP. After posting ratings of 97.2 in 2017, 97.6 in his final year under McCarthy in 2018, and then 95.4 in his first year under LaFleur, sorry, it's a name I struggle to say, in 2019, he's posted an impressive 121.5. So this season, he's through 48 touchdown passes after a combined 51 in the past two seasons. So he's clearly sort of, his game is really upped, I think, from where it was. And he's become the second quarterback in 80 years to lead the league in completion percentage, touchdown percentage, and interception percentage. Finally, he had a rating of 107 plus in 15 of his 17 starts. Of course, one of the exceptions was Tampa Bay. In that game, he had the second lowest rating and his third lowest completion percentage of his career. It wasn't a particularly great game for the Packers, but I'll get into that a little bit more. The receiver core, they have someone for every role, I think. It's quite a well-rounded offense. It's led, of course, by Devontae Adams. He set a franchise record of 115 receptions and tied for third in NFL history with 18 touchdowns. At 6'1", he's not the tallest, and with a 4'5 in the 40, he's not the fastest, but he's definitely one of the best at getting open. Adams is arguably the best route runner in the NFL right now, and he's just so in tune with Rodgers. He can beat defenses short, long, and everything in between. You've got Alan Lazard, who was a big favourite of mine last season. I said he needed to step up, and he has. He seems to do all the dirty work for this offense. And I think he surprised the Saints and Rams with his ability to go deep for touchdowns as well, for them big ones when they really need them to. Valdes-Scantlin, he's one of the fastest players in the NFL, and he's definitely a long touchdown waiting to happen, but he's also a drop waiting to happen. He's dropped quite a few balls this season, but he's still that deep threat and he can still catch, and he's definitely someone to watch out for. Tight end, Robert Tonyan, 52 receptions and he scored 11 touchdowns. A lot of that production's come from bootlegs, but he definitely has a knack for just getting lost in the secondary of defences. So how do the Packers beat the Bucs? Well, there's two main risks going up against Tampa, and Green Bay came on the wrong side of them. I think in their previous game earlier in the season. The first big risk is to understand and come to terms with the fact that Todd Bowles might fool you occasionally, and it could have quite catastrophic results, but it doesn't mean that the game's over and you shouldn't panic and you just shouldn't change your game plan. So this week I rewatched the last game earlier in the season, and the first thing that stood out to me was that Rodgers threw a pick six because he read the rush coverage and the rush and the coverage wrong. So from that point forward, he got a little bit gun-shy and a little bit unsure about trusting his reads. He held a bit too long and he got hit. The second pick, I think, was just bad luck, but it didn't seem to help matters. It just seemed to get in his head a little bit more. The fact is, the pack were chugging along on offense quite nicely until that happened, and then it all started to fall apart afterward. Rodgers and LaFleur, you need to accept that this could happen again, but to remember that in order to move the ball and to score points, you're just going to have to stick to the scheme and do what they do and what they do best. Hopefully with that game under their belt and the whole season worth of tape to study, the Bucs won't be as deceiving this time for them. And the Packers' plan will be to eliminate those mistakes that they made the first time round. But if they do happen, they can't afford to just go to pieces. On offense, creating difficult choices for the defense is one of the main intentions of this Packers offense, I think. The illusion of complexity is the fancy term that LaFleur likes to use, but really it's all about just finding stress points in the defense and just exploiting them. And for Bay struggles defending against play action, as the linebackers are quite over aggressive and like to play really downfield. So you can take advantage of that aggressiveness just using their motion plays and their RPO, the green play routinely uses quite a lot. The second big risk, well, it's the Pettine problem. We've all heard it countless times before. The recipe to beat Brady is pretty simple, to just play aggressive man coverage, press man coverage, and to just take away those quick, short, little annoying throws that he likes to do and give you pass rush time to really get in the backfield, get in his face and just hit the old man and beat him up. Some coaches don't like to do that because it does leave you open to the occasional highlight deep shot ball that's just going to make you look bad, but being beat by a Brady bomb, in my opinion, is preferable to letting them dink and dunk all the way down the field on you. And it's a risk that I think you've just got to take to stop them and to stop this Buccaneers offense. It sounds counterintuitive, but especially with the deep threat receivers that the Bucs have got, but the Bucs have lost five games this year, and in four of them, Brady threw multiple picks. They've got to be aggressive, get to the ball, and if he hits a random bomb to Godwin or Evans, just be content with it and just accept that it's one of them things and it's just collateral damage in the grand scheme of things. They're playing chess, not checkers. The best part on this defense in the Rams game was when the Packers stopped letting Goff just sort of dictate their defense by playing softer zone coverages. This appears to have been like the main complaint in this Pettine defense for a long time from a lot of Green Bay fans when I've been looking at forums and such. When Green Bay did eventually jam up their receivers and give their pass rush more time to get home, they just destroyed the Rams passing game completely, and that game completely flipped. I believe a similar game plan this week would work quite well against the Bucs. Brady, like I just said, struggles under pressure. He lacks mobility to be any kind of running threat, which takes away the big disadvantage of playing man coverage. If Green Bay does go single high safety and let someone like Darnell Savage loose in that sort of robber role in the middle of the field, I think it could have a huge payoff for them if the pressure's strong enough. I remember in 2015, I don't know if you remember this, Joe, in the AFC Championship game when he went up against the Broncos. The Broncos just absolutely teed off on Tom Brady. Now, I love to see Tom Brady get sacked as much as the next fan, but he got hit so much in that game that I genuinely thought and hoped that they would pull him off for his own safety, because I started to become a little bit concerned for him. He was sacked four times and he was hit a whopping 17 times in that game. And obviously his performance suffered quite a lot as a result. He threw two interceptions. He managed just 27 completions out of 56 throws. He has a passer rating of 56, which was the second worst of his postseason career. Whatever the Packers do, getting to Brady, I think, is just an absolute must for them. They might not be able to duplicate what the Broncos did that night, but even if they come close, good things are surely going to come of it. The longer Tom Brady stands upright, the more dangerous he is. He might be the GOAT, in inverted commas, but the more pressure you put on him, the more ineffective he becomes. And that was just, it's always been true throughout his whole career, in my opinion. Another key aim for the Packers defense will be taking away his safety blanket in the form of Rob Gronkowski. I think if you take away Gronk and force him to throw to them receivers that he struggled early on to sort of develop a rhythm with and he's less comfortable with, I think they're going to be in, you know, give them more of a shot, more of a chance to really put pressure on him and get in his head. My final key point was just the turnover battle. I think the Bucs have thrived off two main strengths on their defense this season. Stopping the run, where they rank first, and forcing turnovers, where they, I think, the fifth, with 25 takeaways during the regular season. The pass defense is good, but it's not nearly as good. It only ranks eighth. A big reason their offense was a success is because of this defense's turnovers. They have had 15 turnovers, I think it is, which is seventh. And I think this was best displayed in the game against the Saints. So in perfect home conditions last week against the Saints, this, I think, really sort of came through and showed through when it showed that just how reliant this offense is on good field position. So Tampa scored 3 touchdowns on drives of 40 yards, 20 yards, and 3 yards, all immediately after turnovers. On the Bucs, 7 drives that didn't follow a turnover. They had 3 three and outs. They picked up a single first down once, and they had 3 longer drives that all stalled out for field goals. So, in other words, as long as they're not reckless with the ball, and as long as the Packers don't give the Bucs that sort of momentum and good field position that I think this offense needs to score points, then they should be in good shape. I've got Packers by 4.
You made me a lot more confident in my pick of Packers by 3.
Yeah, I'm buying what Craig's selling. I think if back in 2005 when Aaron Rodgers was drafted and Tom Brady had been in the league for 5 years and someone said in 2021 those two would be playing in the playoffs, you'd be thinking, right, it's one of those games where you're dragging out old quarterbacks and the rest of the team's pulling them along. These two are at the top of their game and it's going to be a cracking game. But I've picked Green Bay to win the Super Bowl somewhere else, so I'm saying Packers by 7.
Okay, lone gun in the box there, Joe.
Happily.
I don't know. I think the Bucs played a blinder, but they can be caught flat pretty easily.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that the Packers have a great day, but I don't know, man. It's playoff football, like. Anything can happen, so just go with it.
It's just you need to be aggressive on defense. You can't play the Bucs and sit back because you will just pick you apart. Like, you have to play aggressive and just accept the risks. And if they come out on Sunday and they play like that, I think they'll destroy them. I really do. I think it'll be quite a one-sided game if they do come out and play that sort of style of football, but it's where they've got the stones to.
Think I don't know if you hit this stat, the Packers cornerback, who's their top one again called, begins with a J, whatever his name is, he, I think it was the first game this season that he allowed negative yards against the Rams. He minus 3 yards against him, so yeah, Packers. Let's move to the AFC playoff. We've got the History Channel over on the NFC. We'll move to nice young group of people here in the AFC. I'll take the Bills here. Been a bit of a Bills homer for a fair bit, so I was quite happy with this one. Bills have made the championship for the first time since 1994. The Bills played the Ravens at home and won 17-3. It seems like quite a wonky score, but it was 3-3 going into the half. It was just a really great defensive game in that first half, and the weather conditions were god awful. If you didn't see the game, just to tell you how shitty the weather it was, Justin Tucker, who is the most goat-like of all the kickers, hit both uprights in this game, and it's the only time he's missed twice in under 50 yards in a single game. I mean, anyone that knows Justin Tucker knows he doesn't miss, so it was quite a shock. Bills came alive in the second half, though, when Taven Johnson tied the NFL playoff pick six record with 101 yards. Lamar Jackson would eventually be knocked out of the game with a concussion off of a very dodgy snap, and the rest was history. Most glaring thing about the Bills was the run game in this game. If you don't include Josh Allen's runs, they ran 9 plays. And Zach Moss, who's their best running back, is out. He's just had ankle surgery. And it's shocking they managed to win against what a talented secondary the Ravens do have. They only had 16 rushes for 32 yards. Again, if you don't include Josh Allen. Even in the air, Josh Allen got 23 completions for 37 attempts, 206 yards and 1 touchdown. But it does include a lost fumble. Simply put, the Bills didn't put out their best performance this game, but the weather was absolutely horrendous for football. And the Ravens had a fair bit of misfortune, obviously. The Bills get to go and face the reigning champs, the Chiefs. From a defensive perspective going into this game, the last time the Bills faced the Chiefs, it was the first game since 2016 in the league that a team didn't blitz. The Bills didn't blitz the Chiefs once. Coming out of the regular season, the Bills are the 16th best ranked defense, so bang in the middle. 13th in the air, 17th in the ground. Again, pretty bang in the middle. If we are going off last game, the Bills favoured soft coverage against Mahomes. So they were stopping those big plays. Tyreek Hill, he had 3 plays for 20 yards, nothing bigger than that. So depending on how you want to look at playing the Chiefs, do you want to just try and shut off those home run plays and work on stopping them working underneath? Because they certainly can hit you in both ways. In that game earlier in the season, they were, because of this soft coverage and trying to stop the big plays, they were gashed in the run game. They went for over 200 yards against them. Will the Bills change this? That's the question. I think I'm right in saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out, and Mahomes obviously up in the air. It's leaning towards he is playing, but you can't count it. It's going to be very hard to predict how the Bills are going into this game. Are they going to, again, go for this nice soft coverage, or are they going to use that? Arguably, I think they've got a great safety pair with Jordan Poyer and Mika Hyde. They were going off last game. Do they want to play hard, play aggressive, and take that risk? Moving on to the offense, the Bills were blitzed on 15 to 31 dropbacks. No sacks, but they forced Allen to stay in the pocket under pressure instead of just yeeting it down to Diggs. Bill's offensive line now, as opposed to when they played the Chiefs back then, is healthier. They are actually now one of the best pass protection units in the league. So this kind of gives you Josh Allen the option of escaping the pocket. And as we know, Josh Allen has got the wheels. He's got the arm. He's one of those really exciting players when he's outside of the pocket. They average 34.7 points a game, which is no mean feat. So offensively against the Chiefs, if Mahomes is playing, they're not going to have trouble keeping up with them, especially in the air. I mean, Stephon Diggs is arguably the best receiver this season. Cole Beasley, he's just one of those people you love to watch. He's a real Julian Edelman in the playoffs that's coming off. Doesn't matter if he's injured, he's that slot receiver and he's going to make those really hard catches. Again, Zach Moss being out is going to hinder that run game. Hopefully, Singletary can take advantage of the 31st ranked DVOA rush defense the Chiefs have. Ultimately, and I know it is a cliche, the Bills winning depends on Josh Allen. The Bills won 2 playoff games to get here. One of those games was won with their offense against the Colts. One of those games was won with their defense against the Ravens. Both of them need to be on form to win this game. Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Bills, is going to need to surprise the Chiefs with. He's already been quite unorthodox in his play calling. An example, he had 3 rush plays in the first half against the Ravens in very windy conditions. So he's definitely not one to follow the norm. And Andy Reid's probably going to love playing against that because he's definitely not one to play the normal game either. The Bills just need to be whatever it is that Andy Reid throws at them. Tim, do you want to display your defence?
Kansas City Chiefs. Last week in the divisional round, they beat the Browns 22-17, which was quite significant going into this game. So the biggest storyline, we've talked about it, is the injury to Pat Mahomes. Classic concussion, looked more like a chokeout, rather. Andy Reid said yesterday that he's in the concussion protocol. He's practiced on a limited basis. Other than a setback, he should play against the Bills. If anyone had predicted that Chad Henne and the Kansas City defense would win this game, well done. No one else would have thought it. Henne sealed the game on a fourth down play that no one, not even Tony Romo, the god of predicting plays, could have predicted. He thought they wouldn't run the play. He thought they were just waiting to jump off sides. Tyreek Hill had 110 yards receiving. Travis Kelce had 109 yards receiving and one touchdown. And Darrell Williams led the rush in the absence of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's kind of been the formula all season long for the Chiefs. We actually had a preview of this game back in week 7. The Chiefs won 26-17. Mahomes had a pretty decent outing with 225 yards and two touchdowns, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire dominated with 161 yards on the ground. So as I said, the Chiefs will probably have Patrick Mahomes back this week. There is a chance that Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins will also be back. They've been back in practice this week. And let's not forget a nice little nugget that I found here, that Kansas City only got Mahomes in the 2017 draft by trading up with Buffalo. Buffalo received picks that eventually turned into, well, pretty much the key parts of this team. Tre'Davious White, the cornerback, Tremaine Edwards, the linebacker, and Deion Dawkins, the left tackle. So Kansas has got the number one passing offense, but the 16th rushing offense. And the Bills have got 13th passing D and 16th overall D. Kansas has got the 11th overall D and the 14th passing defense. And Bills have got second overall offense and third passing offense. The Chiefs have only lost one competitive game this season. Last game of the season doesn't count. And that was against the Raiders in week 5. That game will be studied by the Bills to see how to beat Kansas City. It's not difficult. I think, Adam, you mentioned it there. It's really simple. And I know it's a cliche. It comes to who plays better, Mahomes or Josh Allen. So, you know, you've got to look at Stephon Diggs on the Bills against Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs. So I don't think this is going to be a grind-em-out defensive battle. Kansas City are +3 to win this game, and they're actually 2-1 favourites to win the Super Bowl. So having said all that, I've actually got the Bills winning by 3. I think Josh Allen's on fire. I think he's doing really well at the minute. I really like that Bills team.
Oh, I'm taking the Chiefs, and I've got the Chiefs to win by 9. I think it's going to be a big shootout, this one. It's going to be, the balls are going to be flying in the air. It's going to be nuts. I think I'm taking the experience again. I'm taking Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes over McDermott and Allen. I know Allen isn't the same quarterback as he was last year. He did obviously bottle it in that wildcard round. And don't get me wrong, he's moved on. But this is such a different game. It's the championship game. You're one away from the Super Bowl. The Bills haven't been there in so long. Granted, they hadn't been to the divisional round in so long, and they managed to get past that point. They haven't been to the championship in that long. But for me, this is just a completely different game. You're at Arrowhead. There's going to be Chiefs fans in the building. I don't know. And I just see Mahomes, just if he's fit, smashing it. And also, personally, fuck the Bills.
See, I'm of the opposite mind. I really like the Bills. I have quite a soft spot for them. I really like the team. I really like the fans. I really like Josh Allen. I like Stephon Diggs. But as much as my heart wants the Bills to win it, going with my heart last week really, really went against me in a big way. So I'm going to go with my head this week, and I'm going to go with the Chiefs instead. Like you said, they're a bit more experienced. They're playing in Arrowhead. I'm going to go Chiefs by 6.
Something I think we've forgotten to mention, Patrick Mahomes, before he got the concussion injury, definitely got a bit of turf toe, because a couple of the runs he was hobbling like he was running with one heel on. Like, in the playoffs, if you look last year, some of his biggest plays were his scrambles. There was that I think it was against the Titans, but he had just, yeah, it was the Titans because they couldn't tackle the shit out of him. But he scrambled for like 25 yards and got an unbelievable touchdown. He can't run right now. Like, he, you saw his weird little hobble. And even when he was dropping back, he did not look comfortable putting pressure on that foot. And turf toe is a long-term injury. It's not something you can sort out in a week. I think it's going to, it may not be a big part. I think it's going to be noticeable.
I definitely think that's going to be a factor because, A, he throws a lot on rollouts. So the defense is going to probably get a lot closer to him than he usually would. And also, they're not going to be as worried about him rushing and getting like 15, 20 yards because, like you said, he could hardly move on that toe before he got hit. And is he going to be, is that going to be, trying to choose a better word than head here, is that going to be in his head worrying about getting another hit to the head?
Yeah, I think it's underestimated how bad it is. I don't think it's his plant foot, but you could see he was not comfortable using it. I don't think I said my score. I've got the Bills by 7. So nice 2-2 split on there. Let's move on to our bold predictions. Trying to be bold, but a bit hard to be bold when it's four of the best teams in the game playing each other. Do you want to start us off, Craig?
Yeah, so, I mean, you think that this is where I'd probably try a bit harder and be a little bit soft, but no, I thought less than 8 sacks all Sunday. So each team to average just 2 sacks.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm going along with, I've said both games are going to be shootouts, so I've got less than 2 interceptions the whole of Sunday.
Okay, Tim?
I've got the AFC will have more passing touchdowns than the NFC.
If Henny doesn't play, you're in trouble, my friend. I mean, if Henny plays. And my bold prediction is each team to get at least 2 rushing touchdowns. Let us know what you think. If you've got any answers to some of the questions we spoke about earlier as well, get in touch. But let us know what you think of our predictions. I'm sure there'll be some choice words to say to us. You can find all these predictions and all the questions that we put out on our social medias, which are, Joe.
Yep, our Twitter and Instagram is at @TAFS_UK and our Facebook is @AmericanFootballShow.
We're also trying to be a bit more active on the NFL UK subreddit. It's quite quiet, so if you do fancy joining us on there for debate, go for it. You can also catch us on our website, which we're, in the off-season we're hoping to upgrade. Tim, do you want to let us know what the website is?
Yep, thatamericanfootballshow.com.
If you want to head over to Lockdown Lids as well, they're friends of ours, good partners. They've got some boots and balls on, is that right, Craig?
Yeah, they've also put up another load of new stuff, as Tim kindly let us know before we started. So they've got a Alvin Kamara jersey, Cam Akers jersey, Saquon Barkley, Darren Waller, the Rob Ninkovich, I think, is still up there. That was quite a nice helmet. Brian Urlacher, yeah, there's tons up there. Go up there, have a look, get involved, win yourself some nice signed merch to put up in your man cave.
If you want Taft's merch, you can also find that at EP Sports or our own website. Any shout-outs this week, guys?
I'd just like to say, if you're listening, whatever platform you're listening on, whether it be Apple, Spotify, I don't know, Google, I don't even know what half of them are called, just give us a rating, give us a review, let us know what you think, you know. Yeah, you know, it all helps.
Yeah, every review helps us try and get better and get more notice. Anything else you want to say, guys, before we head off? Good to know. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at UT Sports for all your NFL or equipment needs, and enjoy championship.
It is. It is.
Sprinkle.
We're getting
chocolate.